Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode of Wrestle Ramble is sponsored by Wrestling Arcade's Kickstarter project, Pro Wrestling's Greatest Moments, a pixelated guide. Wrestling Arcade is a fantastic Twitter account, which I've been a fan of for years, that recreates classic wrestling moments in glorious 16-bit graphics like the Super Nintendo and Mega Drive, or the Sega Genesis for our American friends. You know, the golden age of video games. You may even recognize Wrestling Arcade's work from the intro of Being the Elite, and now Wrestling Arcade have launched a Kickstarter for a coffee table book version of their work, which will cover classic moments from WWE, WCW, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, New Japan, NXT, AEW, and more. The book will contain nearly 400 pages of moments hand-created in pixelated goodness. The book has already had support from the likes of Sasha Banks, Zack Ryder, Joey Janela, and Kenny Omega, so why not show your support too? Head on over to WrestlingArcade.com for more information. You can support Pro Wrestling's Greatest Moments, a pixelated guide, from as little as $6. So support Wrestle Talk and support Wrestling Arcade. That's WrestlingArcade.com for more information.
Support Wrestle Talk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakador Laurie Blake.
Hi, mate.
Hey, man, how's it going?
I just put my phone on airplane mode.
Really,
really prepared today.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, super, super prepared.
I felt like I've been a bit sort of ramshackled today because I had to go pick up the magazines from the Prince Charles Cinema, which have been there for 2 months.
Yeah.
When we did our last live show there.
Classic us.
Classic us. And I was like, oh, I really should go get those picked up. And I was like, well, I'm not making a video today. I'll go get them now. And I feel like because then I didn't get into the office until 12, I just feel like I'm really off my game at the moment.
Just smashual Thursdays.
Smashual Thursdays.
You know,
someone's just messaged me going like, have we done this yet? And I was like, oh no.
Oh God.
Was I supposed to have done that?
What's
but then
happening?
I'm like, no, it's fine. Mm. We haven't quite signed off on things yet, so it's okay. So I've just sort of sat down here on my own for a bit. By the way, again, those magazines, they are heavy.
Mm.
That is a big old box of magazines that we did not sell.
No.
And it was, trying to carry that down towards Shaftesbury Avenue was so heavy.
Mm.
And then I got into my taxi and because I'd been told I need to go to like the end, go towards like Waldorf Street and get the taxi there.
Right.
So I went to Waldorf Street, got a taxi there. Taxi guy pulled up and he's in a panic because he's pulled up towards Chinatown. He's like, I can't drive through here. If you haven't got a special permit, you can't drive through these areas. And I'm like, I didn't know. I was just told to get it. He was like, oh, man. And he was just really flustered. And I was like, I've got to get these magazines in the boots. We put them in the boot. And he's like, right, if that guy over there moves, because it's like, it's a one street thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's trucks and stuff that are trying to get down. So there are these big garbage trucks trying to get past him. And he's sort of like pulling more and more onto the curb to like let them past. He's like, if this guy can move, then I can turn round. And this guy wouldn't move for ages. Even though he had people in the car, he'd already picked them up. So my tax driver just started swearing at him and just hurling abuse at this man. And then the guy moved and he was just shouting at him even more. And I'm in the back sweating because I'm getting like anxiety sweats now. And I'm just like, I've made this man's day terrible. Mm. Like this is all my fault because I got a taxi here.
God
damn WrestleTalk magazine, ruining people's lives.
Just ruins people's lives, but it's also a great magazine. You should go and buy it. And then at the end of it, when he finally decided, and he tried to turn around, but there were other cars coming up. And this sort of garbage man was there going like, what are you doing?
Mm.
And he's like, I can't go through that. And he's like, yeah, you can. Look at all of those cars that have gone past you, that have gone down there. He's like, they've got permits. Like, they don't need a permit. Just go down.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay, yeah, thanks. Beeping horns everywhere because we were now blocking traffic.
Yeah.
Just drove down. And I'm like, I don't think this guy's ever been into central London before.
Yeah.
That was the impression that I got because these were the reactions I would have.
He's confused the congestion charge with a permit to go to Chinatown.
Yeah. But then he was telling me all these stories about driving through central London. And I'm like, mate, I, with your stress levels, I would not drive through central London because it is a stressful environment.
Now, you being an Uber driver notwithstanding, there's a reason you have lots of stories about driving through central London. And it's your attitude towards driving in general that is creating situations in which you can make a story out of it.
Maybe, yeah. But anyway, it was quite a stressful journey. And we had to put on Smooth FM lighten the mood a little bit.
Can we listen to Whale Song, please?
We needed some culture club to kind of like get us through. We need some Boy George.
Just do some chanting. Try not to swear.
It'll be fine. I tipped him at the end. I did put him out a little bit. But anyway, magazines are back now.
Well, there you go.
And you'll have heard...
We can lug them to the next thing.
And you will have heard at the top of this episode that we do have a new sponsor in our midst, which is for the Wrestling Arcade book. It is pro wrestling's greatest moments, a pixelated guide. You may know Wrestling Arcade. It's a Twitter account that does... classic moments from wrestling, but in 16-bit graphics from like Royal Rumble for the Mega Drive or Genesis if you're an American listener. And it's really, really cool stuff. He's really, really creative. And they're releasing a book. Well, he's releasing a book. I actually found out yesterday when I spoke to him. It's just one guy. I was very impressed with the work that he's done. And so he's going to be doing this sort of coffee table book, 400 pages. It looks absolutely awesome. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, that sounds familiar, they do the intro to Being the Elite. So if you watch their YouTube show and watch the intro, where it's all like 16-bit graphics, that was done by Wrestling Arcade. So head on over to Kickstarter and support their project because it looks really, really cool. Anyway, how has your week been?
It's been alright. Yeah, it's been pretty chill.
How's Screen Stalker?
Screen Stalker's fine. Screen Stalker is fine. Screen Stalker's good. We're currently in the process of revamping the content, which you can see the labors, the fruits of that labor, or the half-formed first experimentation of that labor more likely tomorrow.
Yes.
As we start to move towards a slightly different ilk of content. More on that tomorrow, though.
More on that tomorrow. Yeah, head on over to Screen Stalker and get involved with that. But for now, I suppose, let's get into the actual show itself, where I'll be honest with you, listeners. I was trying to think of what we could do as a title for this week's show, and I was like, Shayna Baszler doesn't draw. We've done the Undisputed Era. Mm-hmm. What about this lad here? What about Isaiah Scott? We'll talk about him for a bit. Is he the future of NXT? Here's the show. I really wanted to do how, like, the biggest news of this show is that they've changed the intro and there's no West Side Story bit anymore.
Yeah,
we're all
just
standing in a row singing the song together. So... finally, that's the big update for me this week. But this is my first episode of NXT I've seen in about 3 weeks.
Mm.
And my 2-week holiday, and then I didn't watch it last week because of business. So actually, it was quite nice getting back into the black and yellow brand. Because I haven't a Scooby-Doo what's going on at the moment.
Not a lot.
No?
Some very good, like, so Io Shirai, Shayna Baszler had a very good cage match last week.
Was it worth me going out my way to watch?
I think it is. I think it actually genuinely is a really well-worked, very clever cage match. Comparative to, say, Kofi and Dolph's one. Like,
which I also didn't see.
Yeah, that was very, and had a good finish. This was, like, really cleverly plotted and well thought out for throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And had a really good finish too.
Yeah.
The first round of the breakout tournament between Angel Garza and whatever they're calling DJZ now. I can't remember.
Oh, is it DJ? Because I was beyond, these names came up. And obviously, Cameron Grimes was the only one that I actually recognized because I'd heard that Trevor Lee had changed his name. And I assumed that they were
you know, people who have signed fairly recently, but because they've all changed their names, I never Scooby.
So it's DJ.
I thought I'll pause it and I'll find out who's in the tournament. I had no idea. So DJ Z is one of them.
DJ Z is Joaquin Wild.
That was it, Joaquin Wild.
Wow,
it was a really good match,
yeah?
And like a real star-making performance for Angel Garza as well, who just had. He just oozes charisma, that man.
Is ACH in the tournament?
He is. He's Jordan Miles now, I believe.
Oh, cool.
So I imagine there'll be... Maybe that's the last round of the tournament.
Yeah.
Of the and first rounds of tournament.
What does the winner of the tournament get?
They get a title shot of their opportunity.
Really?
Of their, the title opportunity of their choosing.
Oh, cool. So they could go for the NXT Championship.
What did I say?
They could go for... They could go for the tag titles if they found a partner, or is it? It's just very paid. Would you assume they're going to go for the North American title?
I feel like you would assume that they were going to go for the North American title, but I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any harm in them like challenging Adam Cole and being like, let's have an Adam Cole match. But exactly, I think the final, I don't know how many weeks is it left before Toronto?
I don't know.
They're currently doing like one thing a week, so yeah. I feel like we're kind of running out of. Weeks before Toronto, so one of these matches will be at Toronto. Surely.
Yeah, sure.
The final will be, yeah,
yeah. Randy, when is SummerSlam?
It's like the 13th, 14th of August, like that.
Yeah,
I'll find out.
Exactly. So yeah, we've got all of July and a bit of August left. Okay, yes, they've got 6 weeks or so to do it. But anyway, we thought we would talk about this. Thank you. We thought we'd talk about this breakout tournament match. It was between Isaiah Swerve Scott and Cameron Grimes, the former Shane Strickland and Trevor Lee. Mm-hmm. Shane Strickland from Lucha Underground, and he was Evolve. I think he was Evolve champion at one point as well. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lee, famously from Impact Wrestling. So it was quite cool, actually, seeing both. We saw Trevor Lee at Progress Super Strong Style.
We did.
Cutting a wonderful promo.
Yeah.
And
flipping a bottle.
Yeah, and he just casually flipped the bottle because he was like, I've come to the ring. And he landed it perfectly.
On the apron. And like everyone in the front row got up and went, oh! And he just goes... It was so good.
And he got, it was,
that was a dab for people listening to the audio version.
And he cut this amazing promo because he had a match with Ilya Dragunov where he was essentially just like, you and I... We're NXT buddies. We're on the same page. Granted, I'm from the proper version of NXT.
Yeah.
Because Ilya's in NXT UK. It was really, really good heel stuff. And so Cameron Grimes won the match, which much to the crowd's chagrin, because they were super behind Isaiah Scott. So he's who I wanted to talk about because, holy heckins, he's very good at professional wrestling.
Isn't he, though?
Yeah.
Isn't he just? I thought they both exhibited very good things. I think...
Big fan of Trevor Lee.
Yeah, Trevor Lee or Cameron Grimes was doing a more basic, I'm being the heel here version, whereas Scott has very flashy offense.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really, really cool.
There's a moment when Grimes is working over him for quite some time because he hits him with this like really wicked forearm.
Mm.
And then he's working over him for a while. And at one point, tries to throw him out the ring. And Isaiah Scott, goes over, just puts his hands down onto the apron and sort of somersaults over and lands on his feet.
Yeah.
Effortless.
Like it ain't no thing.
Yeah, like it really was no thing at all for him.
Yeah, I love this. And this led to like a... They sort of almost did the Will Ospreay moment where like they tried to go round and they showed Grimes off on the other side of the ring
celebrating
to the fans, and then he notices and runs to try and get him, and Scott slides back in, and as Grimes goes to slide back in, Scott does this amazing little sort of cartwheel on the ropes splash.
Yeah.
And just lands on top of him as he slides in. It's really cool.
I felt like we had this moment when we were talking about, it was the Fatal 4-Way at Fyter Fest between, I'm going to have to run through these names here, MJF, Hangman Page, who else was in that match?
Havoc.
Jimmy Havoc.
Jungle Boy.
I was trying to think, it was the fourth one, I couldn't remember, it was Jungle Boy, when he did that cannonball spot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sort of like, it was a cannonball splash senton thing off the corner, and you're like, I honestly don't really know what
it
I just
saw. It was just parkour shenanigans.
Yeah, and that was the same thing. He did this move, and I was like, I'm not 100% sure what he did, but it was cool, and I really liked it. And so I was then actually very much surprised when he didn't win, because the crowd really picked up whenever he was on offense. The crowd just instantly bought into this guy as like a made star, just absolutely loved him from day dot.
I think my one thing to say to that would be like it's probably a booking scenario in the fact that they want a big heel.
And Lee can cut those heel
and
promos.
Lee can cut heel promos.
Grimes,
and
we should call him Grimes from now on.
Yeah, Grimes can cut heel promos, and he's very good. And I think if you've got maybe ACH, I feel like might win his match. Mm-hmm. And then it's Jonah Rock and somebody else, who I can't remember who it is.
It's the problem when they change the names. Yeah. You just see like this blank sheet of names. You're like,
Jonah Rock, Bronson Reed, the good name.
Yeah,
and then who is the other one? Randy, can you look it up?
Can you do some research for us, producer Randy? Get on the old YouTubes or the Google's machine for that.
What was the question? Sorry, I was
Who's in the breakout tournament? Who's left in the tournament?
Because it's Boa versus Jordan Miles. Mm-hmm. And it's... I don't know who Bronson Reed is.
But it's all right. We've got
It's like Cluedo. I don't know what the people are called. But I think like you're going to have the big boys match on one side, and then you're going to have the technical side of things, because that's the way the bracket is kind of fallen. So we're going to get this semi-final clash between Grimes, and I feel like Jonah Rock would win his match, but I don't know. He might be against someone amazing. I don't know. And then you can have a big boy clash there. But I think also just to keep a heel going through the tournament, because that's a very Triple H thing to do in a tournament.
Oh, like, totally, yeah.
Like Pete Dunne is the prime example in the UK championship.
That's a very, very good point. And Lee makes so much sense to go through to the final as well and be like the real cocky heel in the final, and then you have your big baby face win at the end of it.
That's the thing. Triple H loves to have a very respectful tournament apart from one element. Mm. And like in the same as the Cruiserweight Classic with Brian Kendrick. Like Kendrick was the sort of like I'm being the bad boy kind of thing. It's just he always likes to do that.
Yeah. I think Kendrick in that Cruiserweight tournament, he was the baby face. He was like in his final run. It was after that where he was in the
Oh, it was after that when he became bad boy, yeah.
But they did the like sort of roll through flatliner by Strickland then by Scott, which was really, really awesome.
It was like a little jump up whoop.
Yeah. Hey. And big set out power bomb by Grimes. And then Scott did this sort of like step up drop kick thing that was like really, really like it was almost like I've completely forgotten her name now, but it's like the scorpion kick that she does. Mm-hmm. And then he does the Fosbury flop, but we get this big double stump by Grimes, as I've written it, for a shock win. But really, as you say, it makes sense because someone like Lee, like going through to the final, mm-hmm. storyline wise, is perfect booking.
Yeah. But the finale of the match, the before the double stump, was that tilt-a-whirl slam, the backflipping slam thing where it just looked like they collided, but they happened to do a whole flip at the same time. And the commentators are just like, I think Grimes got the better of that. I don't really know.
I'm not quite sure
what happened.
I'm not entirely sure. Before we carry on about Scott, have you got an update for us, Randy?
I do. So it's Jordan Miles versus Boa. Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Cameron Grimes. Bronson Reed versus Dexter Lumis. And Angel Garza versus Joaquin Wilde.
Can you find out who they originally were?
I can. Bronson. I think
Bronson Reed was Jonah Rock.
Yeah. So while you're doing that, let's talk about Isaiah Scott, because he is... Mm-hmm. When he came out and he got that massive reaction, you know, for his NXT debut, and I don't think he'd debut in the 3 weeks I wasn't here, so I'm assuming this is his NXT debut. Cool. So an NXT debut here, and the crowd are instantly behind him, and I just got those sort of Sami Zayn vibes, mm-hmm. of like when the NXT audience can get behind a guy. And Sami is the best example of this. Sami was NXT's boy. He was their numero uno that they wanted to see all the time. They wanted to see win all the time, and they wanted to see him win the big one. And they told this amazing, like, you know, years-long storyline of him finally getting to the pinnacle of NXT and winning the NXT championship, only to have Kevin Owens come in and crush that dream straight away. But the crowd never stopped loving Sami Zayn. And I think if you kind of give Scott a sort of similar push, because he's so charismatic, mm-hmm. and he's so technically gifted in the ring, you could have your next big breakout star in this. Because really, like, the title of this video, is he the future of NXT? Not going by this tournament. He lost.
Yeah, absolutely
in the first round.
But that's the shortcut to getting the title shot, isn't it? That's the shortcut to being in contention. You don't want him to win that if you want to give him the Sami Zayn push.
Exactly, yeah. If you want to tell the story of, like, yeah, you got knocked out in the first round of the tournament, mate. You're no breakout star. Mm-hmm. But then you can build him as a breakout star from that. I think you could really make a huge star out of this guy in NXT.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got that potential, doesn't he? I think it's there aren't many people who walk into the... like into Full Sail when people don't know who they are. Like, people know who he is, obviously, but like, he's also in a tournament in which a lot of people are quite well known, and he's got the biggest reaction of the four guys we've seen so far, so it'd be interesting to see if anyone else matches that sort of ovation that he got on that specific night, because obviously I think they probably filmed most of this on the same on the same evening, so they probably, the fans are getting worked up throughout about all these different debuts.
Yeah, it really did feel like that this was instantly, this was their pick. Like the crowd had already picked the guy that they wanted to win this tournament. So in theory, him losing might make them want to see him more and want to see him win something out of the off the back of it.
Yeah, I think I'd be interested to see if it's one of those situations as well where he's not in the tournament anymore and the tournament's going to play through to Toronto. So is he going to get any other TV time in between, or are they just going to keep him off and then bring him back post Toronto for a big sort of like babyface return?
So yeah, so the tournament, just cause to fill the gaps in for me, is the final at Toronto?
I'm speculating that it is.
Okay, right.
I don't know.
I think that is the idea.
That's the idea that ends.
But do you want the names of these people?
Yes, please.
So Dexter Lumis is Samuel Shaw, who was at
he was in TNA. He had the Dexter gimmick.
The gut check. He had a gut check winner, according to this. Jordan Miles is ACH. Isaiah is Shane Strickland. Boa is Yanbo Wang, who's one of the only Chinese people who actually stayed on. I think he's the only one, actually. And then, Bronson Reed is your mate. What did you say? Isaiah Rock.
Jonah Rock. There's too many names now.
You know the rest.
What was the
Cameron Grimes?
What did they change Eric Bugenhagen's name to?
Rick Boogs.
So much more rubbish than Eric Bugenhagen.
Rick Bugenhagen would have been fine.
Would have been fine if you had to change it to something.
Yeah.
Rick Bute. I can't even remember. Rick, it's that Bukes. Boring.
Well, it could be Bukes.
But it's weird that he's got the opposite treatment Pukes. To Robert Roode. Like, Bobby Roode went to a more formal name.
Yeah.
And then Eric Bugenhagen goes to like a kiddie, like, it's Rick Bugs.
Robert Roode is going to be one of those guys that come the end of this year, we'll all go, God, do you remember his 1 week push? And we're like, oh, I forgot about the Robert Roode 1 week push where he had the moustache.
Unfortunately, it was all based around his facial hair, and that stuff does grow out.
Yeah, it does. Well, you can trim it down.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, let's shout out some $25 and above pledge hammers. I'll move that over so you can see that blood. So, if you want to get involved with this, head over to patreon.com/wrestletalk and you can have your name shouted out in the Wrestle Ramble by these two handsome fellas here and Randy. And we kick things off with Jeremy Spoken, Claire's today, Smith.
Yay!
Get a cheap pop out of it as well.
The Incredible Tarzo!
The chairman of the board, Jeppesonen!
There he is! There he is! Leisure Suit Larry!
Woo! 24/7 champ, our legend!
Woo! Big Sexy, Jimmy Genslinger!
The Redneck, Dennis Hicks!
Woo! I see it! Michael Plowman, that's his name.
His name again is Michael Plowman.
Woo! Join him, John Iowa.
Woo!
Big Bad, Blake Lloyd.
Woo! Martin Santoyo, talking to me.
Yes, I am.
Woo!
The Perfect Storm, Noah Trombley.
Woo!
Caught in a Travis Webb.
Woo! Have a cup of tea, Lee.
Yeah, have Woo! A cup of tea.
And please. Lastly, I think he's talking to you, Damian Thompson.
Yay! Thank you all so much. But Randy, Andy Datsun, what's heading up in the Super Chats?
What is it indeed? We, as usual, we have Tim Arndt is heading us up with, so the Forgotten Sons will interfere in the tag title match next week to screw with Regal. Will that lead to a Lorcan Birch versus Forgotten Sons feud?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I didn't really know what was going on in that segment.
Well, so last week, the Forgotten Sons came out for a match against Street Profits. Street Profits, big return to Full Sail. And it was a non-title match. And the Street Profits said, you're always banging on about having a title match, so we're going to give you a title match. And then they won.
Right.
So the Forgotten Sons are annoyed that they were annoyed this week that Street Profits shouldn't be allowed to make a match. Which was a match that was advantageous for them, but then they got themselves disqualified and lost. So
okay, I see what you're saying.
It didn't really make any sense. It didn't make a hell of a lot of sense.
No. But I'm picking up what you're putting down. Okay,
yeah.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Apparently, the word on the grapevine is that the reason why the Street Profits were on Raw this week is because Bischoff's not at SmackDown at the moment. Like Heyman, the word is Heyman's got the advantage because he's an on-screen character anyway, so he's always at the show. So he's not in control yet. But he is around.
Starting to plant his
seeds. He can plant his seeds. Whereas Bischoff won't be having his first day in the office until after Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm.
So Heyman had made the strategic point to have the Street Profits show up on Raw so he can have them as a Raw act because he doesn't want them going to SmackDown.
And it's because WWE is worried about losing young viewers to AW, and they think because Street Profits are young and hip, same as Ricochet, that they're going to push them because they will... The young viewers will watch that and go, hey, that guy's just like, I mean, I know I look at the Street Profits and go, whoa, I can relate to those guys because I'm a bit of a Street Profit myself. So.
You are indeed, yeah, with that nerf.
That nerf throwing.
What else is going on in the Super Chats, mate?
Aaron Watson is next in to say, good morning, gentlemen. It's actually a good afternoon for us, but good morning, Aaron. Says, do you think NXT will eventually be moved to TV or maybe even live one day?
Well, that's the. There's been a lot of talk of that with WWE going over to Fox, that NXT could move over to FS1. And I could see WWE doing it as a political play once AEW announces their TV, because they haven't announced a date yet. And I could see WWE striking up a deal with Fox to put NXT on
a Wednesday night
directly against it if it's on like a Wednesday night.
And I think also that's given legitimacy, I think, by Heyman having the Street Profits turn up to Raw with their belts. I get that, like, you're trying to get out ahead and like corner this thing, but you're also, when the other NXT guys came up, they didn't have all their paraphernalia with them. They were basically barely NXT guys on the show because we'd forgotten all their characters and everything else. So they were sort of just like, here's some guys that you've never seen before. Old hardcore WWE audience that watches Raw still. Yeah. The only people who are left watching it. But yeah, this was kind of a... Now I feel like NXT is being brought in to become the third brand that it was always intended to be.
Yeah. Whether it goes live or not, I think it's a different matter because I think they've got like a nice little setup with their taping schedule that they do to lead up into takeovers. So I don't know if they would go live on a weekly touring basis.
I think also, they would film it and put it out. Yeah,
because that's the other thing. Well, like NXT is a money loser currently. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any money. Perhaps with the TV deal, there is some money to be put into it.
But NXT is an investment as a show.
Well, that's
right?
It. So yeah,
NXT,
exactly. It doesn't matter if it's a money.
The show is to give people the exposure for when they go up to the main roster. So there's already a pocket of audience that know who they are. So you don't have to build them in comparison to like AJ Styles. You know, like it's very difficult to get over when the show already has Seth Rollins, AJ, Roman, Finn Balor, and all these other guys running around that everyone's really interested in. So when some random turns up, they're like, oh. Who now?
I haven't got time for these new people.
What's happening with Finn?
Well, where is Finn?
Yeah, exactly. Where's Shinsuke?
Yeah. They were on TV last week for a brief moment.
They were. Fabio Geronimo, which is a wonderful name. Unfortunately, you've asked the same question as the last guy, but because you did donate your hard-earned cash, we can say my question to you is if WWE should consider turning NXT into their real third brand show to face AEW's Wednesday Night Dynamite. Big fan of yours. Greetings from Brazil. And I will say good luck to Fabio if he's a football fan, because Brazil are in the Copa America final against Peru this weekend. Obviously, Luke will be cheering on Peru.
He had to bring up football, didn't he? I'm a boring sportsman.
Hey, I was just being nice to
chomping at the
bit. I'm a young kid.
Sorry, Fabio.
I like the Street Profits, but I prefer golf.
Sorry about them. I'm playing golf with housemate Simon on Saturday.
That'd be fun for
you. Will Carpenter says, SummerSlam main event, from North Carolina. So I think he was, what do you think will be the SummerSlam main event?
Roman versus Shane.
Oh, the showman, the greatest showman.
Roman versus Shane, like to finally end this feud. But crucially,
I can see it opening the show. I can't see it ending.
No, they're the biggest stars, Andy. Of course, they've got to main event the
Seth
show.
Seth versus Becky for Maria Kanellis' baby.
Apparently, Seth versus Baron again. No, Roman versus Shane. I think even if it's not the main event, it'll be pushed as if it is the main event.
4 out of 5
and
falls match.
It will be for the WWE Championship, which Shane will win off Kofi on an episode of SmackDown.
If that happens, I quit.
I'm hoping that entire plan goes away when Bischoff arrives. Unless Shane forms his own NWO.
Yeah. What if Eric wins it? What if Bischoff wins the WWE title?
That would be
it. We just take Shane out of the equation and just put Bischoff in there instead.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Let's do three more for
David Arquette.
Three more for now. Owen Towers says, when AEW start their weekly TV, will you be doing reviews of the shows?
Yes. Yes, we will.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly because SmackDown's moving to Fridays and we don't want to work Saturdays. So it'll essentially replace the SmackDown reviews.
I'll do SmackDown for you, Owen. Mr. Doback says, what do you think about Robbie Eagles joining Chaos?
I hadn't heard. I hadn't heard that.
He had an incredible match with
Ospreay.
It's
unsurprising.
It was four and three quarters.
It was with Ospreay, and then he defected at the end.
Oh, okay. Well, that's news to me.
And lastly, and I know we get a lot of silly questions on here, but we're going to go serious for now because... Ginger says, what is the largest animal you think you could single-handedly cling film to a lamppost?
Oh, largest animal you could single...
Is the animal...
alive?
Implicit. Is it complicit in the plan? Or is it...
I don't want to
or am I fighting an animal onto a...
Yeah, that changes the question, really.
Because I reckon I could cling film a beached whale to a lamppost.
Single-handedly?
Yeah, but I would do the lamppost. I wouldn't do the whale.
You'd like taskmaster it and think
outside
the box.
Yeah, I think outside the box, and I would upend the lamppost, and then I would do the lamppost to the whale.
Mm. No, but you'd have to get underneath the whale.
You could do it
to
the top.
No, you wouldn't. There's so much surface area.
Yeah, there's loads of surface area in a beached whale. It'd be fine.
I was going to
just go around one of the flippers.
I was going to say a panda, but...
All right.
Anyway, we will...
Randy wants to suffocate a panda now.
We'll get on with the rest of the show and talk about NXT.
diggity, dick, diggity dog.
Freaking dick, dick. So yeah, the show opened. No one is singing the theme song anymore. So instantly, NXT has gained half a star in my books. It becomes a better show when they're not just standing there like dorks. But then we did start off with Aaliyah. They dusted her off once again for more of a push, I think.
The fart that never dies.
Yeah, Aaliyah. She was taking on Mia Yim. Nigel was singing Queen's One Vision.
I did enjoy that. That was
you were singing
funny.
One's Vision, and then I said Renee. Then, and then Beth Phoenix goes, "Are you a poet, Nigel?" And he was like, "You idiot! It's Queen." Which made me laugh. And then, Yim won. Is the short?
Yeah,
story
Yim won in a match that didn't make anyone look good. I don't think there was the one amazing bit, and the bit that got the biggest pop for this otherwise incredibly flat match in. A crowd that weren't interested because Aaliyah was in it, surprised, was the bit where Aaliyah went to get up and Mia Yim just went at her and she went, and jumped out of her skin and ran back to the corner and everyone went crazy. That was great. I didn't think this match made anyone look particularly great. Like, Mia Yim is fantastic and really good working in certain scenarios. This just didn't do it for me.
I mean, I think it made Yim look pretty good because she did beat both of them, essentially. She did dives onto both of them when Bourne was sort of trying to interfere. And then after the match, she threw Bourne into the steps as well. So she beat two people. And
I enjoyed that bit at the end. I just thought the actual work of the match was a bit, like, all over the place.
And then she throws Bourne into the steps and then she goes up to the commentary desk, fluffs the lines a little bit, but challenges Shayna Baszler to the NXT Women's Championship. Mm. So perhaps that's the match we're going to get at Toronto.
She's going to whoop your ass.
Yes, hit the protect your neck. So she challenges Baszler. So yeah, I don't know if are we getting this at Toronto? Do we know? Or is it? I mean, we're not going to go into spoiler territory, I suppose, actually. So don't answer that because I have no idea. But I assume
I do, but I've forgotten.
I assume that's the direction we're going because we'd also, like, we're moving EO out that picture so she can face Candice, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, sounds good. We then got, speaking of EO, a recap of that cage match from last week. EO doing like a moonsault off the top of the cage. Looked really fun, actually.
Really,
yeah, yeah. And then she turned heel after the match and hit like a suplex onto a seated chair.
Yeah, I mean, that was brutal. The beatdown was horrible.
Yeah.
And I loved her doing her. I read a thing that said, like, EO's, the Japanese EO was using at the end, like, there's not any words particularly strong enough in Japanese to be considered, like, too rude for TV. But what she was doing was as close as you could get to that. Like, she was using very, like, apparently bad grammar is the worst thing in Japanese. So she was doing that.
I love Japan so much. It was amazing. Rusev used to do that, apparently.
Yeah.
When he used to just, like, be shouting in Bulgarian, he was actually just swearing.
Yeah.
Like, with the Bulgarians, that it was hilarious because no one would notice what he was doing. Then we had Kathy Kelly backstage with William Regal. And this is my one complaint I have about NXT every week is that whenever William Regal gets interviewed, I have to mess around with the volume on my laptop to hear what he's saying. Then you have to turn it down when someone else walks into the room. So you've got Kathy Kelly walking in and be like, "Mr. Regal, I've really got to ask you about this situation." And Regal will go, "Well, I really need to talk about this, but actually, I need to talk about the Street Profits as well and what they're going to do." The Forgotten Sons walk in and be like, "Regal, what are you doing?" "Oh, I don't really know what I'm doing. What do you want to match?" "Yes, we want a match." I'm like, I'm fighting with the remote control here.
Stop talking during a sigh, Regal. It's weird.
So yeah, I've written here, he says what happened to Candice was bad. Forgotten Sons walk in and talk about making matches. Brackets, ask Laurie.
Yeah. I didn't get it either. The long and the short of it is the Forgotten Sons were annoyed that they lost their match to the Street Profits last week and they thought they should get another title match because Street Profits shouldn't be allowed to make a title match.
Because reasons.
Yeah. And he said, "You're at the back of the line now, so toodle pip." And then he said, only Lorcan and Danny Burch should have a chance.
Yes, they're getting a match next week. And Riker says at the end that they won't forget this.
But this is also the fallout of the match was that at the end of the match, there's a beatdown on the Profits and Burch and Lorcan run out to stop it.
Right,
and so they, and then there's a standoff in the ring that's a bit tense because Lorcan won't quite give back the belts that they've been holding.
Oh, nice!
And then Danny makes him give it back, and he goes, "Yeah, but you owe us."
Yeah,
and it's a bit like, "Whoa, Danny Burch, not the sort of man you want to owe anything for."
Absolutely not. No.
It's just a really quick job, mate. It's just a really quick job. Just in and out. Just drive the car. That's all I need you to do.
I would love it if this led to a Jackson Ryker versus William Regal match.
at a takeover.
Yes.
That'd be amazing. William Regal getting back inside a wrestling ring. Bloody love William Regal.
Real man's man.
Oh, especially if he came out to that music as well. I mean, he'll come out to whatever his music is. Then we got, actually, this was probably my favorite thing on the show. This was Adam Cole's Bay Bay Championship Celebration Tour Week 2.
Yep.
This was fabulous celebration.
Wasn't it? So week one was he was at Download Festival saying he's defending the title around the world.
Has Download been and gone?
Yeah.
Ah.
So cool. That's where all the NXT UK stuff was filmed. So
right.
A bunch of that was from Download. So yeah, he goes to Download and he defends the title there against Dave Mastiff, I believe.
The bastard.
Yeah, and then comes back on the plane and he lands and has his phone call with Roddy.
Mm.
And then we cut to here where he's gone to Gargano's Pizza.
Yeah, this was great.
The legit pizzeria owned by Johnny Gargano's family.
Papa Gargano.
Papa Gargano. And he turns up, says, I've got four pizzas ordered.
Yeah.
Can you go get them?
And it's I actually thought Papa Gargano was doing some really solid acting here as well. He recognized him as soon as he walked in, which puts over Cole as a bit of a star. And then there's sort of like tense moment where he's like, well, I've got to do my job. Here are your pizzas. But while he's going off to get the pizzas, Adam Cole takes a picture of himself and he pins it up on their Hall of Fame, which has just got pictures of Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae and a few other people. Oh, it was amazing.
Do you think they took down the Ciampa ones? If there were any Ciampa ones, like, oh, Ciampa comes here all the time.
Yeah.
He's from a nice Italian family.
Yeah, but they might put him back up now that they made friends again.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and he says to him on the way out, like, I've put a picture over there of a real champion.
Yeah, that was really, really good. And then he goes to the wrestling school that Johnny Gargano visited when he was champion and sort of like let them hold the belt and things like that when they were putting over the Gargano's this local hero. And Cole goes there to essentially get this promo being like, no, he's not. He's full of crap. He's full of crap with what he said. And he said that seeing Gargano at this school just made me sad.
And the reason I brought you these pizzas are I want you to take some pizza, go home, sit on the sofa, and give up.
And he targets a guy called Twan, I believe his name was, and said that you're not going to be an NXT champion. And he's like, I can if I believe. Like, don't buy into that. Yeah, absolutely, you're not. Look at you. You're not going to be a champion. It was amazing. And he goes, seeing as though I've given you, I know you're paying for wrestling school, but let me give you some free advice. And his free advice was, get out of this school, get out of this town, and find yourself a new hero. This was amazing.
It was great Adam Cole work.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even think, I wouldn't even call it heel work. I'd just call it Adam Cole work. He was just doing a very good Adam Cole.
This is great. So, but I guess then we are probably leading to Gargano Cole 3 at Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that seems to be the case.
Yeah, seems that's cool.
But you would like if you were just the bookers after the first two matches, you're just like, well, it has to happen.
It's the same with like Gargano Ciampa last year. You're just like, well, I mean, that was so good.
Mm.
We could do more of this. And there's so much more story to get out of this. We could easily extend this out. It doesn't feel like it's been artificially extended out. Like, for example, Seth versus Baron has been. Like, that's been going on since WrestleMania. And it feels like it's never ending.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I'm watching it, I'm like, I could watch this for another month.
Well, because it keeps stalling as well. There's no actual, like... Of course they were going to have... Like, of course Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano were going to have another match because the last one was so good. But they keep finding ways to build the intrigue. I was like, how are they going to get a story going with Johnny again now that this has happened? Because it would be boring if he just came out and was like, I deserve that title. And it's like, well, you did lose and it's a bit illegitimate. But Cole going on a gloating tour around Johnny's hometown.
Oh, yeah. Messing with his family pizzeria.
It's like, and that gives him a legit reason to be like, I don't even want the belt anymore. I just want to beat you up.
Yeah. I'd like to go to Gargano's pizzeria. I bet it's actually really nice.
Let's ring him.
Let's ring him. Then we had Kushida versus Bandana Boy. It was Jeff Parker, I believe his name was. But Kushida dominated and then won.
Squashida, yeah.
Yeah, Squashida, nice.
It was really good. I thought it was a very good...
Kushida's very good.
Yeah, Kushida just went, this is my showcase.
Yeah.
Here are all of my best moves. It was fab. There was arm breaker thing that he did, I loved as well. Like, it was like the Pentagon one taken up a level because he did this whole, like... He walked one arm around on itself until he had it in the lock and then just falls backwards.
And I love it as well because the commentators were doing a really good job of kind of like putting Kushida over and saying that, look, there's so many people in WWE that want to have a match with Kushida. Like, they are coming out of the woodwork to say, I want a match with Kushida. And that's what Kushida brings to the table.
Yeah, I got that. Like, I like that bit of commentary, but then that jarred with me with what they're showing on the screen, because I was like, well, how did he get to the front of the line?
Yeah, fair enough.
Jeff Parker put his name down so long ago. Like, yeah, he was on the mailing list for Kushida coming to WWE.
Well, he
was
get
like,
the breakout
put me
tournament.
In, I want to know.
Yeah, he couldn't get in the breakout tournament, it's fine. Kathy Kelly interviewed Tyler Breeze, and he said that the Undisputed Era wants to take credit for NXT, but he needs to give them a refresher that this was once NXT Breeze before they showed up. Good stuff from Tyler Breeze. He's now in the intro as well of NXT, so he is definitely back there.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Full time.
Speaking of which, so is Killian Dane. He's coming soon. Has this been going on for a while, these videos?
They've had a couple of little video packages. I think actually maybe only 1 week they had them. I didn't quite catch all of it the last time and sort of missed what the footage was, but they seem like they're doing Trouble Z style stuff. I don't know. It's a bit odd.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see what we're doing with Killian Dane now that Sanity is dead and buried.
I think you will be excited once you have seen it.
Oh, yeah?
Having seen the spoilers, it's quite fun.
Ooh, interesting. Thank you for the tease there, Randy. That's nice. I'm looking forward to it, actually. I mean, I'm a big fan of Killian Dane.
It's a different guy. that's what the...
It was like, and he was one of those guys where you'd think... I mean, you're tailor-made for the main roster, aren't you? You're such a big dude, and you're so athletic, and you're so like gifted in the ring that Vince should easily fall in love with you.
He's too hairy.
But that's good.
Vince doesn't like a stupid, but he doesn't like a specific look of big guy. And he doesn't like, you know, Luke Harper has fallen into that same trap. Eric Rowan is doing well, I guess, but like I think he'd easily be on that same list of people who's like, he's good if he's a henchman. He's not good if he's like the main event guy.
Yeah.
So Killian Dane will struggle, I think, in that regard.
I just think he's
what
so,
Lars
so
had
good.
Going for him was that he was bald and had limited hair.
Yeah, big shoulders. He was like one of the standouts of that first War Games. Like really, really good, and that ladder match as well, the North American ladder match. He was amazing in it.
He's a good guy to have in NXT as well, because obviously he's run wrestling schools and done all that stuff. So like, it's a perfect place to have him because he's got so much to pass on. Like.
Beast of Belfast is coming back. Then we got the Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Cameron Grimes match. And we got a promo for NXT TakeOver Cardiff, a show that no one's going to. And then we got Bianca Belair versus the... burial of that. Bianca Belair versus the Pink Ranger. I didn't get her name.
She wasn't the Pink Ranger. She was like Mylena from Mortal Kombat. I thought you would have noticed that. Was that what she was going for?
The
sort of weird arm, the segment.
I just thought she was wearing pink. And I was like, I needed a name for it. So it was
purple
the first thing.
Mylena gear.
Yeah, I didn't pick up that Nyla Rose was a Killer Instinct character at Fyter Fest, which I really should have picked up on. Bianca kind of like, she fires off a forearm right at the start because I guess that this girl was saying something that she didn't like and then just started wailing on her. She killed this poor girl.
She shoved her, didn't she? She like sort of face scrubs her and then Bianca Belair just goes, okay, well, I'm going to push you now.
Yeah.
And just goes nuts. It's amazing.
Nuts, yeah.
It's Priscilla Zuniga.
Is that her name, was it? Yeah. Cool, thank you very much. She does like squats while doing a press slam and hits two power bombs and her finish for the win.
Yeah.
Good stuff, actually. I was surprised we got this match because we'd already had three matches at this point and they'd been advertising that the main event was Roderick Strong versus Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
So when Bianca Belair came, I was like, wow, we're getting another match in here. Mm-hmm. This is actually really good for an hour show where you've got promos and like the Adam Cole segment, backstage stuff with Kathy Kelly. It's such a... There is not a wasted moment in that hour of NXT.
No, and you could tell this one as well because watching it, they didn't do any. They like the NXT, the TakeOver Cardiff thing was the only like WWE internal advertorial stuff that they had.
They didn't have anything for t-shirts.
They didn't have anything for t-shirts. They didn't have anything for Extreme Rules or anything
the
like that.
Performance Center
like,
YouTube channel.
Yeah, the Performance Center. Like it was. They genuinely used the entire slot for the program.
It was a very economical show, what it was. Bianca Belair won. I don't know where we go with Bianca Belair from here.
I think you put her... I think this is the beginning of a holding pattern.
Oh, yeah?
This is the... She'll do some squashes every so often, and then she'll start to build back in. But they got to do the fallout of whatever happens at Toronto, whatever happens between Shirai and LeRae, and then Bianca Belair fits in somewhere in that. But I guess, like, maybe the Street Profits are going up. If I was Paul Heyman, I'd be like... Her as well.
I'm taking Belair with me.
Absolutely,
put her on the main roster.
Absolutely would because she's incredible.
So good.
And I think she'll stand she'll stand out on that women's division.
That's the key to it. She will completely stand out from the rest of the pack. And it's like a fresh coat of paint for a second. Then you don't have sort of the stench of the losing two times to Shayna Baszler and having to rebuild back in NXT.
She would feel like a legitimate challenger to Becky.
Yeah,
like she really would.
Yeah,
because you could do the whole like, I get that you're like the man and you've got this attitude or whatever, but look at all of my acumen. Like, this is all of my athletic acumen. I'm not coming here to tell you that you're unladylike or whatever.
Plus, you can redo the undefeated gimmick because you can just say, well, NXT doesn't count anyway. Yeah. So we'll just start doing, you're undefeated from now on.
Yeah, that's cool.
We got a hype video for Matt Riddle doing some MMA training and being a little bro.
I liked this.
That was cool.
So sorry for the dummy.
Yeah.
Just got Kang.
It did look like, and I mean, I don't want this to sound like a slight against
He's
MMA
beating up a
wrestlers.
Jelly baby.
Yeah, it did felt like it was a
he
kid
was beating up a jelly baby.
A kid in his room wrestling with a teddy bear.
Yeah.
Just being like, I'm going to do a wrestle now, and just, you know, flipping it over and like, I'm Ryu.
On the away day, Joe Hendry showed me some wrestling moves.
Oh yeah.
Using a pillow.
Oh yeah.
And
it was
the funniest thing I think I've ever seen. Someone of his size using a pillow. I was like, this is amazing. So look out for our bit of content where we're going to start getting wrestlers to do moves on pillows, because I just think it would be hilarious.
It's really funny. Yeah, and then we got the official announcement next week. Street Profits will defend their tag titles against Burch and Larkin, which I am very much looking forward to. And then we got our main event, which was Roderick Strong versus Tyler Breeze. Tyler landed hard on his back on those ring steps from a backbreaker from Roderick Strong. Yeah. Oh, it was like right in the corner.
That was a cool spot as well, because I like the fact like Roddy sort of slipped off the steps before, and then it sort of like, but it was a trick, and it was like he pops up and catches Breeze as he pops up to see where he is, and just goes dunk
donk. Oh,
did you see the fan next to Roderick Strong? He just goes, "Get back in the ring, you turd!"
Amazing. Breeze did some dives off the apron with a forearm and a big super kick to Strong, but he hit this super kick to Roderick Strong that the commentators were really sort of like trying to cover up for. I just figured he kicked him in the back of their head. Like, I thought the idea was he pushed him into the ropes and then kicked him in the back of their head, but they were like, I think he was trying to clip the foot round. I don't think he hit all of it. I wasn't sure. What did you make of it?
I basically missed it, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah. In that I was sort of in between getting, I actually struggled to get into this match as much as I thought. I thought I would be really into it, and it sort of actually felt like filling until the Undisputed Era run in, actually. It didn't have it didn't escalate quite the same way that some of the other Undisputed, especially Roderick Strong matches have. Like, it didn't have that sort of escalation point where this big thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know, it didn't do it for me, weirdly.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good, but it wasn't like, it wasn't a great main event. It wasn't like, you were just saying then, the Io Shirai, Shayna Baszler, go out your way to see this. I don't think I would say to anyone, go out of your way to see this.
Yeah, yeah.
I would probably say go out of your way to see Isaiah Scott versus Cameron Grimes.
Yes.
But I don't think I'd tell anyone to go out their way to watch this match.
No, it was like, it served the angle nicely, yeah. I think, and puts Roddy firmly in that North American title picture.
Yeah, which is the key to this, is they're pushing Roderick Strong for this North American championship shot, and they were saying, because he picked up the win at the end of it, and they were like, that really does put him now, that he's on a winning streak. Mm-hmm. He really should be in line now for the NXT North American championship and kind of get some more gold in the Undisputed Era.
Yeah, exactly. I think potentially Toronto has the ability to be that show where that is kind of what's on the line.
Strong versus Dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong versus Dream.
Well, I mean,
strong,
I thought it was
a big strong dream.
I thought it was a good show. A packed show is certainly what I would say. And the hour flew by, but it wasn't like an all-time great episode of NXT.
No, it did sort of enough. It was actually very much the, like, we're moving on to the next branch of the story. So this is all kind of serviceable stuff that builds people but doesn't actually advance the narrative of NXT. Beyond Cole.
We're 6 weeks away from Toronto, so it's that sort of, it's that level of show.
Yeah, it's that. We're gonna start to step things up and build things, you know.
But as I said at the top of the show, like, I think because I haven't been around for 3 weeks with the black and yellow brand, it's actually just really nice to be there. I like being back in Full Sail and watching the show. And as I said, because it's so wonderfully economic, it's an easy watch.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a good show. It's just not not an all-time classic.
No, but I think we're going to start seeing the pieces fall in place now. Yeah. You know, it's going to be Mia Yim will finally be in the room with Baszler.
But I'll
that's
tell you
sort,
what.
That's the sort of stuff we're going to start seeing now. It's like, Cole and Gargano will stare down. That kind of thing.
But I will say this. This breakout tournament thing, as soon because I had no idea it was going on until this match started and like the graphics came up for it. Instantly, I'm sitting up and I'm like, well, I love this tournament already.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm excited to see what this tournament has got because I think that you are using this as a really good way to introduce new stars and create stars out of it. And that's great. Mm-hmm. So I'm really in for this tournament.
And I think the tournament is such a fantastic idea. Yeah. I think tournaments on NXT are always really good anyway. But I think this specific one is a great way to use a bunch of guys that we know you've had for ages as well. Like, we know they've all been there for a while. We've seen all the pictures of them, you know, getting their grey t-shirts and stuff. So it's good to see them finally being used to do something. And also something that doesn't actually have to impact the wider story you've been telling for a lot longer. But does give somebody a star-making opportunity out of it as well, because you can win that tournament and you could go for the North American title and probably win that comfortably and people wouldn't bat an eyelid. Yeah. But you could go for the NXT title and have a losing effort to the current champion that makes people go, oh, he took him to the limit.
Yeah, you'd look great in the process.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, thinking about it, this would be a much better way to have the Mae Young Classic. Mm-hmm. If you're doing the Mae Young Classic this year, don't give it its own show where you're like loading it all in one batch and expecting people to essentially binge watch it, which is because not everyone's watching the Mae Young Classic.
No.
But if you put it on NXT where there are more eyes watching it, you might actually get more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be a better use. But anyway, Randy Andy Edson, what are people saying up in them super chats?
Bash through the super chats. The Gecko 17, thank you very much for your generous donation.
Thank you kindly.
Craig Brown is in to say, did anyone see Lewis Capaldi coming out to Shane McMahon theme song at Glastonbury?
I don't know what a Lewis Capaldi is.
Lewis Capaldi is a 22-year-old Scottish singer who is sort of a breakout star.
He's hilarious on social media as
well.
He's
just
okay.
He's been in a feud currently with Noel Gallagher. He came out to Shane McMahon's theme, but dressed as a Gallagher.
He looks quite a lot like a potato, but he is just really funny and just sort of seems really down to earth and just kind of like, I'm famous, but whatever.
Okay.
But apparently he is a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
So because
he's come out to Shane. He comes out to Shane McMahon's entrance music at most shows.
And someone I know from another YouTube channel on the YouTube, he met Lewis Capaldi at a signing and he went, you're that guy from thingy. So that he clearly watches wrestling YouTube as well. So if you're watching, Lewis, you're great.
Come do something with us.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Come hang out.
Sorry, I didn't know who you were.
No, and sorry I said you look like a potato.
This is why.
Just a Two Ball Guy says, for my favorite NXT review duo, keep it up.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, it's good to be back doing the NXT reviews after 3 weeks. It's nice.
Tim Arndt says, heading back to uni next week, you guys are the main thing that keeps me sane. Cheers, guys.
No, thank you. Good luck at university.
Yes.
Yeah. But enjoy it.
Studying psychology.
He's studying psychology.
He is.
Very, very nice, yeah. My university years were mixed. I didn't do very well in like the studying bit.
Mixed match challenge.
I had a great time at university, but it was a different time, and it cost a lot less to go. So
yeah, it was.
It cost me a lot more to go.
So much less to go.
Oh, it cost so much less to go.
We went to university in a time where they're essentially just throwing money at you to
go.
Do you want to go to university? Money.
Yeah,
damn it.
That's how I bought a laptop at the end of the year, but I had so much money left, I bought a laptop.
I bought so many action figures when I was at university. Like I used to work in a toy store. And like student loan day would come around and I'd just be like, right, Dan, it's time to get all that stuff that I put aside out. And he'd be like, right, total it all up. That's about 450 quid. And I'm like, put it on my card, mate. I've got loads of money now, apparently.
I had to work
£1 pints as well.
£1 pints,
yeah. I had to work 3 extra jobs at university because that's how little money we had.
Oh, I still worked. I worked at GameStation.
Yeah, I worked at Marks & Spencer.
In fact, actually, I would
argue. And they gave me even more money.
I would argue, working at GameStation, I put more effort into working at GameStation than I did in my university degree. There were times where I would just like, I'd fob off classes just to go and work at GameStation because I much preferred doing that.
Fair enough. T.Y. Oh So High says, who will be the second biggest star from the Undisputed Era?
The second biggest. Good question. I mean, I was instantly going to say Kyle O'Reilly because he's so charismatic and he's an incredible, incredible wrestler. But I do wonder if he has got a style of wrestling that's not going to get over on the main roster because it's like really designed for hardcore wrestling fans.
I still think it's Kyle. Like, I think Roddy obviously will have various ins and outs, but he's not as an amazing heel as everyone else is. So, like, you could go back to being face Roddy, but I didn't really buy into that as hard as I wanted to. Like, he's sort of between... He's, like, obviously... I think he's probably the great, like, the biggest in-ring showman of the lot, apart from Cole. But I think he's got, like, that sort of style that would grab a mainstream wrestling audience, especially with all the backbreaker stuff. It's just so... Yeah. It is just so visceral and so cool. But, yeah, I think his character work is a little...
I'm going to stick with Carl because as soon as he does that air guitar thing with the championship belt, it'll be gift beyond all belief, and then that'll be it. Gift for a main roster audience.
Jobber JJ says, WWE's making Evolve a big deal on YouTube. Shame I'm watching AW. Speaking of AW, when should they take their product to mainstream?
They already have, haven't they?
Yes, I thought.
Yeah, I'd say they already have.
Yeah.
They're on TNT.
The interesting thing is they're clearly trying to diversify and like speak to very different audiences because they're doing Fyter Fest being at the CEO fighting games tournament. They're clearly trying to there's obviously overlap there, but it's not one to one overlap. So they're trying to bring new people in through other avenues at the same time as doing a regular sort of like hardcore wrestling show and be like, well, you already like this.
I'd say them going on to TNT, them striking up deals with ITV. And being with Bleacher Report and things like that, I think they already are mainstream.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to argue they're the second biggest wrestling company in the world at the moment.
The Gecko 17 says, "Hi gentlemen, I love your content. My question is, if you could have two guys on the main roster have an NXT style match on a takeover, who would it be?"
Oh, that's really good.
Seth and Finn.
Ooh.
Or Finn and Shinsuke?
Ricochet and Finn.
Good shout.
AJ and anyone.
Joe and Ricochet.
Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. For 25 minutes.
Ember Kakari. Dana Brooke.
Sasha and Asuka.
Sasha and Asuka is a great shout. What's the latest? Have we heard anything from Sasha Banks?
She is on... She's filmed some stuff for 2K20, so people think she's coming back.
Right.
Possibly to like help Bailey and something.
Black AJ.
Good shout. Great shout.
Got there in the end.
Oh,
just a two ball guy says, "I just became a newly minted $25 backer.
Nice.
How do I get my shout out nickname to you? Also, I'm enjoying the loads of new content. You guys are the best."
To be honest, mate, you've already got it, really. If you're a two ball guy, you're just a two ball guy.
Just a classic
two ball guy. You'll go onto the shout outs list.
Yeah.
So we spread them out over videos, and you'll have your name in one of the videos eventually.
William Buena, thank you for your donation.
It might be towards the end of the month.
TYO So High says, "Do you think one wild card every week should be from NXT?
We don't have wild cards anymore. That's not a thing. Everyone's just on across the brands now. There's no mention of wild card anymore.
No, I think. But again, the revolving door should be open. It should just be, you should be able to just come up and go down. And clearly, like Street Profits have proven that they were the wild card, I guess, this week from NXT, but they didn't do anything with it.
No.
Particularly.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to do it for a match, because doing it for like a backstage angle is just...
Dinner for yucks is...
Yeah. It just makes it feel pointless. I don't know.
Yeah.
Expect a Fight says, "Finally, the Pledgehammer has arrived.
There
Bianca Belair was impressive again."
Yeah, and nice to hear from you, Expect a Fight. I think she is very good. When she was doing those press slams, she's out there in the press slam position and just started squatting. But it looked like it required no effort on Bianca's part whatsoever.
She is married to Montez Ford. Could she be coming up with the Street Profits?
Well, that's what Laurie said earlier. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cheers for listening, mate.
No worries. Hey, I've got to interact with these lovely fans. Flint Mech says, "Favorite detail of the show was Regal subtly grabbing his brass knuckles from his desk when Forgotten Son stormed in."
Yeah, he's great. I just love the fact that he's got the brass knuckles on his desk. It's such a nice little character touch. That, and there's a picture of Blackpool in the background. Like, a really lovely picture of Blackpool. So good.
Jeremiah Jones, thank you for your donation. Jay Derezinski says, is Tyler Breeze the new vet who always loses to put over the younger guys? He hasn't won a match since returning.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with that role, but I think you can certainly get him into a storyline.
Yeah,
some bit because he is so good. Mm-hmm. Like, and he should be used more than being the vet that loses all the time.
Yeah, but then he was robbed in this one. You know, like it's not like this loss wasn't his fault really. No. The match was interfered with.
That's true. Yeah,
in one way or another.
And like, he did dispatch of the era.
Yeah, exactly.
And he feels like he's in a feud with them, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a thing. Yeah.
He was on. That was really well done. He was on ENC's podcast with Fandango like a year or so ago, and he just seems like one person who just wants to wrestle. Doesn't matter where it is, he just wants to wrestle. So I think it's a very good place for him to be, basically.
You're quite hip, you aren't you, Andy? Yeah. Because you didn't say the Edge and Christian podcast. No, you're too short-handed for that. You've got to be the ENC podcast.
Well, yeah, your WR podcast that I would listen to every day.
He doesn't call it a podcast anymore. He just calls it a listen jam.
An ear biscuit.
The big P.
Jer Personen says, let's go, Brazil!
Let's go.
Football.
Oh, okay.
Joshua Lieberman.
Soccer ball.
Joshua
Touchdown.
Lieberman says, when will Orange Cassidy have his first match with AEW? Well, he already was in
there. Yeah, he's already had his first match. He was in the barrel. He's not signed with AEW. It was just, I think it was a cameo appearance. Mm-hmm. So, and it was just there to, like, you know, pop the crowd. So I don't know. To be honest, with AEW, it's the sort of thing, we don't know what this sports-centric thing means. If you want to like steer away from like really comedy, because he's a comedy wrestler, if you don't want comedy wrestling in your show, then you're not going to hire Orange Cassidy.
No, true. I think it's...
Then again, they have got a dinosaur there.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be sports-centric in that manner, is it? It's going to be present like given the sporting vibe.
Yeah, and wins and losses.
But definitely be a very wrestling-focused thing. I think like until they get a weekly show, they've got so many other people who are signed to deal with and to give screen time to, that someone like Orange Cassidy is gonna have to wait.
Yeah, he's so good though.
He is.
Has it always been his gimmick? Because have you ever seen him like wrestle a proper match?
That's what I've always seen him do. Yeah. I was watching.
It'd be interesting to see if he could do like a proper
after. Well, he can do because he does like as a match progresses, he starts doing the full wrestling. But it's just the start of the match is the very sort of lackadaisical thing. After Super Showdown, I felt like I needed a palate cleanser, so I fell into like a hole of watching Orange Cassidy matches in my taxi ride home. And I watched him have a match with Gentleman Jervis, which was so funny. That's the one where he puts him to sleep and tries to put the pedal
on. Yeah, and then pin him.
And the referees go out to sneeze while he's counting the pinfall. Like, don't sneeze. And then he sneezes and Orange Cassidy wakes up. It was so funny. And then I watched him. It was him and Session Moth versus Jordan Grace and Brian Cage. So you've got Orange Cassidy, lackadaisical Orange Cassidy, and Session Moth, who is just like a big ball of energy, versus these two machines in Brian Cage and Jordan Grace. It was so much fun. And then I watched the follow-up match of Orange Cassidy defending his title against Jordan Grace. It was so good. It was amazing.
Expect
did he fall asleep in a bear hug?
No, he didn't. It's all of his spots are built around him putting his hands in his pockets.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But the bit that really tickled me, that I was like, this is why I love this man, is he brought his title belt down to the ring in a backpack. So he had a backpack over his shoulder. He gets to the ring, undoes the backpack, pulls the title belt out. So good. And I was like, right, where's his website? T-shirt, buy. I'm having one of those.
Expect a Fight says, who do you think would take better care of Velveteen's dream character long-term, Heyman, Bischoff, or HHH?
Whew, that's an interesting question. Bischoff's at the bottom of the list. Mm. He'll become Disco Inferno. Yeah. I'm going to say Triple H because he's kind of been there from day dot, so like he knows where it's going.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's clearly got a plan for him.
Yeah, I'd say Triple H now.
Jeremiah Jones, thank you, WrestleTalk, for being the best wrestling podcast in the world.
Thank
Seriously,
you very much.
Love the channel. I've been a member since 2016.
Thank you very much. That predates me.
That predates when I knew about it too. Zachary Marsh says, love you guys so much. The best combo on WrestleTalk.
Aww. So that's a very nice thing to say. I don't personally agree.
Definitely not Randy. I don't think he means me. Jeremiah Jones says, also I was thinking about if Deadpool was in Endgame. Imagine if Deadpool was screaming, trying to convince Ant-Man to go up Thanos' butt.
I could have done without it. But then again, I don't think Deadpool's very funny.
So. Oh, I like Deadpool, but yeah.
Limps.
He definitely belongs in his own universe.
Yeah.
Limps says, got paid on a side job today. Thought of sharing some of it with the WrestleTalk team. Cheers, Luke, Laurie, Randall, Keith, Datsun, Swaff Nation, Blake Ham, if he's still a perfect piece of crap. Breeze's steel steps bump was friggin' brutal.
Really was.
Yeah.
That was a great bump to take. Mm-hmm. I just hope that it was like, you know, I think he's okay, but yeah, man, a little rough as hell.
Mm.
Caleb Maldonado says, saw a video of Kid being asked by not Renee Young, a series of... Saw a
this
video...
This is the CM Punk thing, right?
The Superstars catchphrase... Oh, yeah, saw a... Yeah. So there was a kid in the crowd who they were like, oh, who's the best in the world? And he just goes, CM Punk. But they thought he was going to say Shane McMahon.
Yeah, of course.
And why would you... Because that's not really what I associate with Shane McMahon.
No, like, but that's what they associate with him.
Because he says it, doesn't he?
That's his gimmick. He's the best in the world. That's obviously the answer they weren't expecting. But I think I told the story on a show before, but it was, we got an email from Jaron Walker at I think it was the Raw after Mania, when they were doing that thing. It was like for the live crowd, and they like show up on the big screen, and they bring up people who've like got their signs, and there's like, oh, what's your sign saying? And it's like, well, you know, I love AJ, or you know, well, this. And then he goes to one person's sign, and it's a sign that says, is it too soon to boo Roman? As quickly as they could cut away from it.
Wow. Trucker Idacrow says, did you see Ronda's new video teased coming back?
I didn't see it, but I saw of it. I saw of it on Twitter this morning. It said she wants to come back to wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when? Jobba JJ.
Pregnant.
Yeah, well, you know, if that hasn't worked out, maybe she got bored of that.
Yeah, nah, I didn't take
it. Hasn't
what do you mean we have to wait until next month?
Yeah, this hasn't gone as I planned. And we'll go to Fox. We'll get some Fox money, and then we'll
buy a baby.
We'll buy one.
Jobber JJ says, do you have a hero? Mine is Michael Schumacher, who, for non-sports fans, that is a former seven-time Formula One world champion.
I know who Michael Schumacher
who is.
We grew up in the 90s.
No,
of course
I said
we know
I don't mean for you.
Schumacher
I meant for
is.
Other non-sports fans. He is currently in a very bad state. He had a very bad accident a few years ago. So he has been in a coma for a very long time, and
that's
he
terrible.
May not recover, unfortunately.
That's sad news. I suppose Mike Patton, Faith No More. He's like my favourite singer in the world. So maybe he's a hero, I guess. I don't really aspire to be because I can't sing. Yeah, I don't know. What about you?
I don't have any heroes.
Don't have any heroes?
No.
Do you know who my brother's hero was?
Don't meet your heroes. I stick by that. Don't have any heroes because then you don't have to meet them.
Yeah, that's very true. My brother's hero when he was a kid and actually into his teens was Rolf Harris.
Oh, that's so brutal.
Can
you guess what it is yet? A crushing disappointment.
No, I know, he really was.
My hero is Adam Pacitti. Zaim Kazi says, hey guys, love from Pakistani-Canadian. I actually know another one of those. Do you think they'll send Yui, Undisputed Era, to the main roster?
So multicultural.
And hold back to pay off?
Look at him, he's basically a living metropolis.
Do you want me to read that one again?
Yes, please.
Do you think they'll send the Undisputed Era to the main roster and hold back to pay off Gargano versus Champ? Oh.
I don't know. I mean, the fantasy booker in me wants to see Finn turn heel and join the club. And then you do the club versus the Undisputed Era for all of 2020.
Oh, that would be so good.
Yeah.
Tim Arndt, thank you for your donation. Tomo is back in with a very generous donation. It says, hello, Mr. Owen, Mr. Blake, and Mr. Datsun. Love watching and listening to you guys every day. I also love talking to the members of the Swaff Nation, spreading love for all.
Oh, it's very nice of you. It's nice to have you around.
We have some kind of regulars in the chat who like always talk to all the kind of new people. And
it's lovely.
Very lovely.
We've got a wonderful community.
It really, really is. Genuinely, and if you want to join it, join Discord. We've got over 4,300 members, so join that and you'll get to make lots of new friends. Jeb Sonnen says, every time I watch WrestleTalk, it's lovely time with the boys. I love Swaff Nation. Should we rename the Wrestle Ramble Lovely Time with the Boys?
Lovely time with the boys.
Welcome to the post NXT Lovely Time with the Boys.
Jeb Sonnen, his suggestion for Wrestle Ramble Extra, I'm trying to find it. I think it was Night of Champions 2009.
No idea what happened.
It's CM Punk versus Jeff Hardy as the main event for the world title. But I don't think that's winning the poll at the moment because, unsurprisingly, it is Invasion that is currently winning. Mm. I think it's the outwinner as well. It's got 43% currently.
Wow, that's one of the biggest ever, surely.
Jeb Sullivan's suggestion of Night Champion 2009, it's got 4% of the
votes. Oh, keep going, Jer. Ziad Wawa says, first time super chatter, long time watcher, finally watching you live all the way from Australia. Boys, keep my greenkeeping job a breeze. Love you all. That means you work on a golf course.
Mm.
I'm playing golf with Simon on Saturday.
Stop talking about sports.
Limps says...
On this sports show.
Sports entertainment.
Limps says, Luke, please do your best in the world for the Swaff Nation.
God, it's so warm in here. Hang on, let me give a
quick pass. It's really hot.
You genuinely might.
Properly sweating.
I'm leaning forward because it's helping the water to run off my back.
I know, I keep doing like a.
I had a moment earlier when I put my arms and I was like, I think that was an error on camera. I think I look like a right state. The best in the world! Shane McMahon.
Zach. Oof. Econ Lindner says, Shucky Ducky Quack Quack.
Shucky, I miss Shucky Ducky Quack Quack. We don't get that anymore on the old podcast and the Wrestle Rambles. But that's an old school reference.
Michael Domingo says, y'all think Kushida is getting the Shinsuke push?
What's the Shinsuke push?
Lots of...
Pushed into a dark match on SmackDown.
His music will change to Japanese lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what a Shinsuke push is, if there is a specific Shinsuke push.
Oh, well, Shinsuke's push specifically was he came in and had an amazing match with Sami Zayn and had a series of squashes, didn't he? But I don't think Kushida's even having that, because he's had some very good, fairly fair matches with Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
So I think they're doing a much more interesting thing with Kushida, I think, than the typical... This was obviously a placeholder squash type thing, but they're clearly building to this idea that maybe people from everywhere else in the company are going to turn up and challenge Kushida because they hear that he's such like an important sort of once in a lifetime star.
I love that idea as well, particularly if it's a name from the main roster as well. Like when it's Drew Gulak, it's like, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I know he's Cruiserweight champion now, but it's still that 205 Live level.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was like a name from like if Finn Balor came to NXT to be like, oh, you want a match with him? Yeah.
I
heard he's amazing. That would be great.
You fucking idiot.
It's not a time travel machine.
Michael Dominguez.
Those aren't even real glasses.
It's just a drawing on wrist tape. I can see it from here.
Michael Dominguez says,
but I am a real demon. I'm sorry, I do it to annoy you, Andy.
Michael Dominguez says, which main roster should go back to NXT?
Killian Dane.
Oh,
yeah.
Good answer.
The rest of sanity.
Except
Alexander Wolf, who's got a good thing going on in NXT UK. So.
Yeah, yeah. Eric Young.
Renee Young.
Rude.
Ziad Wah says, it's odd watching you guys. I'm used to having you on in my pocket around 3 to 4 hours a week, but now I'm looking at your bald heads.
Because of the podcast,
He's actually written bald heads, so maybe he thinks you have bald heads.
Yeah. I'm guessing because you're a podcaster, not a pod swafter.
Mm.
Yeah. It's nice of you to join us on the live stream, actually. Yes. Thank you very much
for joining us. And for those wondering, I've just put the fan Discord link in the chat, so you can join via that. Jobber JJ says, Orange Cassidy versus Brian Alvarez was awesome.
Yeah, I heard that was one of the best matches over Mania weekend as well. That's what everyone said, that Orange Cassidy was the standout from WrestleMania weekend. Mm. Like everyone wanted to see his next match.
I just think he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's just so good.
Housemate Simon sent me like a documentary that someone did about him and sort of comedy wrestling in general, which I really need to check out, but I haven't had a chance to yet.
Mm.
Expector Fight says, NXT versus NXT UK. Which title versus title match would you rather see? Cole versus Walter or Baszler versus Storm?
Cole Walter is where I'm going with that, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
As much as I love Tony Storm, I think these... Storm Zero is rubbish. Jobbert JJ says, Andy, you are a legend for knowing who Michael Schumacher is.
We all know who Michael Schumacher is. You don't know that he was a Formula One racer.
No, you don't know his record. And he's added, Luke, if you want to know who he is, watch Spain 96 or something.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the 90s. Yeah, I'm well aware who he is. I'm pretty sure he had many video games based on his name.
Mm. Wait, what's the name of your generation? Because I'm obviously...
We're millennials.
Are we all millennials?
Yeah, we all are.
Okay.
We were born after 1980. We were born between 1980 and 2000, so we're all millennials.
Okay.
We're who the Daily Mail hates.
Yes.
But actually, they're talking about they're talking about the generation after us.
We're immigrants.
We're ruining...
No, sorry, I got that wrong. People the Daily Mail hate. Sorry.
Well, no, they doubly hate me because I actually am an immigrant.
Filthy.
Tim Arn says, if Rhonda couldn't get pregnant with Travis, then she should try with Becky.
Well, I mean, Maria seems to think it's possible, yeah.
Mm. Did you see Becky's tweet when they WWE announced the pregnancy and she just said, you're welcome?
Nice.
Expect a Fight says, last thing for the record, I became a pledgehammer due to the Robert Roode music being played during reviews. More, please.
Well, he's not on TV, so we can't do it.
Mm. That's true.
Yeah,
we've been cutting him out of the TV clip.
Yeah.
Drugs Bunny and Aaron Shepherd, thank you very much for your generous donations. And the last one for today is from Ziad Wawa, who corrected me. He's not a golf greenkeeper. He is a lawn bowls greenkeeper, which is very niche. Ooh, but that's
cool.
A lot of fun.
My father-in-law plays bowls. My granddad used to play it as well.
Oh, do you know what? I went to watch it once when I was covering for the newspaper. I used to, because I worked in a very old little village. And it's really quite fun.
It's great.
It's exciting. Because, like... Yeah, you never know when a man, someone's going to get close to the whatever that little ball's called.
Yeah.
The jack.
The jack, yeah.
There you go.
It's very exciting.
Well, I mean, this has been some thrilling bowls chant here on the NXT podcast. But before...
the post-bowls, lovely time with the boys.
Will you be watching Stranger Things 3 this weekend?
I will see how much time I have. I'm a bit... chock-a-block this weekend, so I might try and watch them tonight. Well, I'm going climbing on Sunday in Stone Farm, so I'm gonna go to some actual boulders in East Grinstead.
Wow.
So me and the guys I go climbing with in the mornings, gonna go out into the wild and do it.
What?
Wild bouldering.
Wild bouldering.
We've done it before, it was fun. But it's freaking scary.
Oh yeah,
is what it is.
Say.
Yeah,
because you've got like harnesses and stuff.
We've got mats.
What do you mean mats?
Like crash mats.
Well, down below in case you
fall.
Yeah,
so like if you fall, you land on the crash mat.
How high do you climb?
High.
Oh God!
It's God. Not that they're not that high. It's like I think the walls are like 4 meters.
It's still quite a big fall though.
Like, so there's some of them go higher than that as well. Like the ones that are still classed as like boulders.
Yeah.
Which are not like the highest wall you get in a bouldering center. I think is 4 meters tall. And that up the top of that, even if you fall off, it's perfectly safe to fall off, generally speaking. But it still feels like, oh God, I'll die.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, I don't deal well with heights.
Neither do I. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm an idiot. I've chosen the worst hobby.
This is a terrible hobby.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it's dreadful.
Most of the time, I'm just like, oh God. There's so many times where they're like, climb that, it'd be fun. I'm like, it looks awful.
Pass. I'm
all
right.
I'll climb the nice ones.
I'll do the ones I know.
Yeah, I'll do the ones with the nice big holds.
I also plan to see. I can't watch it tonight. Oh, happy 4th of July as well to our American friend. Happy birthday, America. Well done for beating them aliens. And Will Smith played a big part.
Biggest part?
Well, Jeff Goldblum also played a very big part.
Yeah, he just did science. He wasn't driving.
I don't know. I think that's debatable. I'd say that Jeff Goldblum did more.
He was just the science.
He saved the president. President wasn't going to get out of there until Jeff Goldblum did something about it.
Well, that's it. The world would have fallen if the president had fallen.
Absolutely.
That's what all those films with Gerard Butler's about.
Exactly. Like the president flew that jet pilot, that jet fighter. They needed him at the end. He needed to make that big rousing speech.
Mm.
Bill Pullman. Anyway. So I'm going to see Jaws tonight because it's July 4th. I'm going to see Jaws at the Prince Charles Cinema, which I'm very, very excited about.
Going back to your old stomping ground.
I know. Twice in one day.
Wonder if someone fancies giving you a lift.
Twice in one day. I'm getting the tube this time. I'm not carrying any magazines. My wife said to me, we're going there tonight. Why don't you just pick them up on the way back? And I was like, they're going to be very heavy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to carry them all the way up Tottenham Court Road. Get the tube home and then carry them from my house back to the tube and then go to work and then carry them from Stratford to the office at the other end. Mm. I'd rather just walk to Wardour Street and get a taxi.
Yeah, that makes much more sense.
Yeah. So we're going there tonight. Then tomorrow we're going to start our Stranger Things binge. But I'm so into Handmaid's Tale at the moment. Oh. Love it.
Season one.
I'm nearly at the end of season two now.
I've not watched season two. I've only seen up to season one.
It's good, mate.
Yeah, I really liked it. Good. I really enjoyed season one.
Yeah, good.
Love the book. The book's incredible.
I did the book at A level, and I did not get on with it. Mm. It was the book that I infamously, on this podcast, I've told the story before, that I didn't read and still passed the exam. I read the first chapter and I wasn't really getting on with it, so I was just like, I'm just not going to read it.
It's a good way to judge a book, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
One don't, chapter in. Some don't judge a book by its cover. Some chapters are 5 pages long.
Exactly. I think we'd also read a chapter in class, but I don't remember much about it. But I still passed the exam. So, well,
there you go. Blah, blah, blah. Feminism.
Blah, blah, blah. Lesbian. Yada, yada, yada. The end. It's essentially what I wrote. I'm really into that at the moment, so I've got to try and juggle watching that, finishing up series two of that, or season two, and doing season three of Stranger Things. Mm. My parents are coming over this weekend, the utter bastards. So that's Saturday out commission, isn't it? Because they're coming first thing in the morning, they're going to be there all evening, and they're staying over. So that's all of Saturday's out. Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, probably also knackered out as well, which means I'm not getting again until Sunday evening.
Mm. You're going to have to divide it up.
I'm going to have to.
3 a night. How many episodes is it? 10?
10, I'd have thought. That's what it usually is, isn't it?
3 a night and then a Monday morning finale.
Thankfully, my wife's caught up on Big Little Lies. So we don't have to compete with that.
I watched one episode of that season two and I couldn't be bothered.
I had the exact same thing. We watched season one and I was like, that was okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed season one. It was like, Yeah, I like the framing of it. Is like all the people in the town hate them, and they get all the interviews, the police and stuff. I really enjoyed the minor mystery that was sort of at the heart of the show, and I liked the characterization of everyone. When you get to season two, and it's just more of the same, and a little bit like the fallout of season one leaves it in a weird place, and I'm just like, no, I'm not into this now.
Yeah, I was in the same way. We watched the first two episodes of it, and I was like, I'm tapping out. Mm. I'm done with this. I haven't got time. I'm re-watching The League of Gentlemen. Like, I'm much rather just sit there.
I'm
and
watching
watch
Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh, are you watching that? Are you? You can't download it. Annoyingly, otherwise I would have done that for my tube journeys.
It's really good.
Yeah, no, I've been really wanting to re-watch that. Anyway, do you know what? Let's get out of here because we've got to get a show to prepare for. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Saturday, myself and Pete Quinnell, to talk about something from the week in wrestling. I hope a big story happens today or tomorrow to set up a video.
Or just do which was better out of Raw and SmackDown? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like the old days of the Wrestle Ramble. That's what we used to do. We used to do it as Raw versus SmackDown.
I'll just do it this week.
So I suppose we could do. There's nothing else big, is there? Is there any big stories this week?
Mate. I don't know. Not been paying attention.
I don't know. But anyway, we'll work something out. And I'm sure it'll be a tremendous episode. But thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.